yesterday, and I'm just going to give this as a bit of an encouragement, and then Gertie's going to share, and then Pauline's going to bring the Word of God. So God, thank you that we can be here. Thank you for the joy that's in this place. Thank you that we are reminded that you hold this whole thing together, that you keep the ship afloat because it's your ship. Thank you for your Word and for your encouragement. Thank you that we could praise you this morning, and we acknowledge and we say out loud today that there's only one God, that you are the Lord of lords and the King of kings. There's nothing better than that we belong to you, and that you deserve all the praise and all the worship. We think of those today from our family who are at the conference in Clive. Be with them, encourage them, inspire them, and I pray that you'll be with them, God. And we think about the Father's Heart Weekend in a couple weeks, that you will bring people, Lord, who really need this, who need the affirmation and need to know how deep the love of God runs for us. And God, there's some of us, even here today, we're struggling. We're limping along, and it feels like we're getting beaten up every time, and then we do okay for a bit, and then we're limping again. And we're at war with the enemy. We just need to be reminded today that you never leave us, you never forsake us. And even when it feels like there is no more hope, there's always hope with you, Jesus. There's always hope. And that you don't miss a thing. Sometimes we think you're missing it. You don't see it. You don't care. You don't know what we're going through. But you don't miss a thing. God, thank you for that. I pray that you'll encourage us today and you'll remind us that we are yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just wanted to share a couple verses from John 6, and I was reading this yesterday. You know, the story about when the disciples are in the boat? We all know this story. We learned this in Sunday school, and the boat's just, it's all over the place, and there's big waves, and there's this huge, huge storm. You guys remember the story, right? Disciples are in the boat, and they are, like, really afraid. They're scared because the storm is just raging, and they're in the eye of the storm, and they don't know what to do, and they're crying out. And then all of a sudden they see Jesus, and Jesus is walking on the water. And Jesus comes into their boat, and what happens? Yeah, well, that's a different, there's two stories. One where he goes to sleep, that's when he's in the boat all along. But the other one is he comes into the boat, and he says, "Peace be still," and there's no more waves, and there's no more storm, and there's no more raging, and there's no more fear. It's all gone, right? But when John, in John's gospel, when he tells this story, I want to just read it because he tells it a little bit differently. And it just this really encouraged me yesterday, so I'm just going to read it. All the different gospel writers, sometimes they get a little picture, a little different picture. You might get a little different angle of a certain event. So this is John's angle of that story when the boat is in the waves and when the storm is raging. Here's how John describes it. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake where they got into a boat and they set off across the lake to Capernaum. By now it was dark and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing. Are you getting this? There's a strong wind blowing and it was dark and the waters grew rough. And when they had rowed 3 or 3.5 miles, now that's important. John tells us, he's a guy of details. They were not just close to the shore. They were either 3 or 3.5 miles out. You know, that's like 5 kilometers away. John wants us to know this. He wants us to go, oh, okay, there's a distance here. They're quite a ways away. They're 3 or 3.5 miles away. When they were 3.5 miles away, they saw Jesus approaching the boat. He was walking on the water, and they were terrified. Are you terrified? Is there anything that's scaring you? Anything frightening you? They were terrified, it says. But he said to them, Jesus said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." And then they were willing to take him into the boat. And now here's the key part here. And immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. Immediately. They were 3.5 miles away. And what John doesn't say, and this is, I think, really important, it was good for me anyways, is he doesn't say that the storm was gone. The other disciples, in Matthew and Mark, they talk about the storm being quiet. Jesus quieted the storm. The storm is still raging. Let's get this straight. When John tells the story, there's still a storm. There's still the wind. The waves are still going all over the place. But they're at their destination. They are where Jesus wants them to be. And that helped me because, you know, I wish in my life that it would work more that every time I just cried out, Jesus, it would just be peaceful and everything would be wonderful. And, you know, it doesn't always work that way. I think John tells the story this way for those of us, people like me, who still struggle. And in the storm, there's still a storm going on. But I'm close to shore with Jesus. And that's what I just wanted to encourage you with today. You're close to shore. When you have Jesus in the boat, you are at the destination. And it's the destination that really matters. And even though the wind might still blow and you might still, you know, get all tousled up by what's going on around you, you are exactly where Jesus wants you to be. And now, on that happy note, Gertie, would you come up? Yep. Yeah, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. So, do I? I'll get you. I got three books here to read. So. Hope it. Yeah. Well, it's going to be good because. Never gets easy. My stomach goes, my heart pounds. But I'm okay because my best friend, other than Jesus, is here, my friend Ricky. So, thanks, Ricky, for being my friend. And for all of you for being my friends. I'm so blessed to be here and so blessed to be part of this community. I can't, there's words that just don't say it. But as soon as I start breathing right again, I think the first thing I really wanted to get out, and I'm not demonstrative, and I don't, you know, jump up and down, but I just want to yell, I'm for Potter's Hands Ministry. Who's with me? Good, we're all for Potter's Hands. It's great. I came to this church just after my honey, the love of my life, went to be with Jesus. And I came to this church, and I found home. I found home amongst a humble, small group of people who gathered over in the kitchen and humbly on Sunday evening seeking God's face and his will for this fellowship. And I'm blessed to say that I've been part of this fellowship since 2002. I think that was probably close to the beginning. Yeah. And so I got some book here to read. Yeah. Okay, I was a kitchen coordinator for 6 years. Stan allowed me in there and let me do what I wanted to do. And serving our friends, many of our friends, friends that are here, and many other friends, serving them and being part of this fellowship and watching it grow and become all that it could be through the ups and downs, and there were ups and downs, hard times and good times. But I have to say that those were some of the very best years of my life, and still are. So, and I believe that, the heart of this fellowship, and that's what drew me here, was the people that this fellowship has always had from the very beginning when Rob and some others were wanting to reach out to the less fortunate, and that's always been the heart of this ministry, and that's what drew me. And to care for the less fortunate, and sometimes, you know, we're all less fortunate at different times, aren't we? And so our ministry has been called to reach out to the less fortunate. That's with each other and with those that come in contact with. And okay, we all go through struggles. We all go through stuff. We also, if we persevere, discover. When we discover, like Stan said, we do go through stuff. And we have before, and we will again, and we are now. But we persevere. We come to the conclusion that love wins. Love wins. God's love wins. Amen. God's love wins. And we receive it. We receive it. And then we give it away. And we go back and fill our cup. And we pour it out again. And that's what we're called to do. And that's what this church does. That's what this church has always done. Faces have changed, but they keep, you know, that heart is still here. And so we're blessed for that. And among us, we have many wounded healers, maybe all of us, eh? Wounded healers here. And I think, you know, that's the diamonds. You know the song, When the Pressure is On, He's Making Diamonds? Well, He's making diamonds out of potter's hands in each one of us. There's some who sparkle just a little more than others, maybe not in God's eyes, but some that have gone through tougher times, harder times, and that, you know, that pressure has produced beautiful diamonds. And, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. You too. So, okay, page 3. Okay, so I want to say that I believe in this church, totally believe in this church. I believe in our pastors. I believe in Stan and Crystal. I believe, totally believe in our pastors, and Alvin and Kathy, and I thank God for them. I believe in our leaders, you guys, and our leaders. And not because, you know, these are the people that come together and make decisions and look to God for decisions for the rest of us. And I'm so thankful for them. And they do a good job. I believe in them, in this church, not because we're a perfect church or because they're perfect or we're perfect, but because I believe, I'm convinced of their passionate love for Christ and his will for this body. I'm convinced of that, and that's why I'm here. Amen. Amen. I believe we're just the right kind of church. Broken, wounded, cracked vessels that God can use. And I know he can because he's used for his kingdom. And God has planted here for that purpose. He's called us to the lost, to the hurting community. And he's given us great gifts. And this church is full of gifts, just full of gifts. Gifts of compassion, gifts of love, mercy, and best of all, the gift of the good news of Christ, that he came, he died for each one of us, that we could be saved. And then he rose again, giving us new life with him forever. And so we have that to share with each other because, you know, we walk, we're broken and hurting. Sometimes we forget and we lose sight of that. But we're here to encourage one another and then take that out to the world around us. And to use those good gifts. I believe that Potter's Hands has a significant role to play in this community in Red Deer. And not only in Red Deer, but in the world, because what we do and what God sees us doing here, worshiping and praising in the midst of brokenness and hurting, that goes out to the whole world. That goes out to the body of Christ, of which we're part of, the whole body. And we're a significant part of that. And not to ever, ever lose sight of that. Because he's caught us here. And he's keeping us here. And he's growing us here. And, yeah, I believe that God inhabits the praises of his people. And this morning, wow, you know, the praises was, yeah, he inhabits that, and he was here. And we felt his presence. We feel his presence. We know he's with us. And there was, I don't know, somebody got Psalm 65 in the Living Bible, if that's allowed in this church. It's the only one I understand. Okay. It's David in the wilderness, and he's in a dry and weary, parched land where there's no water. And we felt that. We felt like we've been in a dry and weary land, and the living water just hasn't, you know. But have you got it there, Eric? Okay. I got it. And I don't have to borrow Stan's glasses. Sorry. Sorry.
Love you, Gertie.
I love you. Thanks. Thank you. I don't want to knock the stand over either. Psalms. Okay. Oh, yeah. This is so beautiful. I mean, we felt this. Oh, God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. I've seen you in your sanctuary. I've gazed upon your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. So, you know, he's in this weary, parched land, but then he says, I will praise you as long as I live. Your unfailing love is better than life. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy. And we have that to share with each other. His word is life to us, and he inhabits. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, that's what was wrong. Okay. Okay. So he inhabits the praises of his people, and we are his people. And when we praise him and come to him with thankful hearts and praise in our hearts. Good grief, there you are. And thankfulness. And I think thankfulness is key. I'm finding that, you know, no matter what's happening, if I look up and say, thank you, Jesus, he's there. And so thankfulness, forgiveness, and praise, I believe, are key to knowing him and walking with him and fellowshipping with him and with each other. And bringing that to each other. There was Psalm 103. Jeez, I'm going to knock something over yet. I'm sorry. Ricky will come pick it up for me if I do. Yeah, another one. Just, you know, like, wow, just listen to David. And listen to us. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. Like all that I am, all the grunge and grit and dirt and good, let all that I am praise the Lord. I will never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins, good news, heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death. He crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills me with good things. My youth is renewed like an eagle. Good news for me. And Ricky. If she wasn't here, I'm the oldest one here. So now she's, yeah. And the Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. There's people here who have been treated unfairly. And he gives righteousness and justice. That's good news. And we praise that. Read those prayers. Take them to heart because they're truths that we need. I thought this was pretty good, but praise and thankful hearts make us a spiritual healthy body. Forgiveness, praise, and thankfulness. Gratitude makes us a healthy body, not only as a congregation, but individual too. We walk in that. It's been proven that as we think, so we become. and that he renews our minds and we become healthy. So as a body, we inhabit his, he inhabits our praise. I think Thanksgiving is important to be thankful, like Paul says in many of his letters to the churches. In Philippians 1, he says, every time I think of you, I give thanks. And how great is that? You know, how often we need to do that. Like, give thanks for Eric and Terry, Barb and Pam and everybody. Give thanks for each other and tell each other we're thankful for each other, because that's powerful. And we are, but sometimes we just forget to say it. And so Paul said, in his letters, he said, every time I think of you, every time I pray for you, I give thanks. And how important it is to encourage each other with thankfulness. And I tell you that I'm so thankful for our church. I mean, where else can an old lady buy a car? A beautiful little Honda Civic for $1. Yeah, that's Potter's Hands. Yeah. And I've been so blessed here, and I can't count the many, many blessings. There's too many, and I'm thankful. You know, we look around and we see others who, you know, maybe, you know, I feel guilty because he's just given me so much, and I feel like, why me, Lord? Why me? And there is others that it seems like, you know, maybe they, you know, has God forgotten them? I don't think so. I don't think so. But he blesses us and he calls us to be blessings to others. And so when we're in a good place and we see a brother or sister in a hard place, you know, I think we reach out and we do this and pull them in to our good place. And so thankfulness and. So I've got just a few scriptures that I can put this one down because I writ them out. they've encouraged me, and I hope they're encouraging to you. So Philippians 3:13, this is so good. You know, forgetting the past, and lots of us have past that, you know, we can forget. But forgetting the bad part of it, and knowing God uses all things. He uses the bad and the good. And the bad that's been in our past, he will make diamonds out of that. But forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead, let's press on to reach the prize at the end of the race. I'll press on, and we'll do that. We do that. Philippians 4 says, it's not easy, but when we look up, and we know he's there. We can do this. Always be full of the joy of the Lord. Don't worry about anything. How many people are worrying about something? Yeah, I am. But he says, don't worry about anything. He said, pray about everything. Louise is worried. See you, girl. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he does. You know, there again, it's a thank him, thankfulness. So thank him for what he has done and what he's doing. And here's the best psychology you could ever find, Philippians 4:8. And that's the good one. Fix your thoughts on what is good, pure, lovely, and of good report. And fix your thoughts on those, and there's healing. And I think that's the best. Well, it was the first psychology, I think, that I ever found any sense in. So, and then 1 Thessalonians 5. So encourage one another, build one another up, just as you've been doing. You know, we've been doing that. We do that. Let's do it. Like Paul says, you know, you love. Well, I'm just telling you, love even more. You know, and build one another up. Build one another up even more. And we can do that. In 5:14, encourage those who are timid. That's me. Take tender care of the weak. Be patient with everyone. Cool, eh? That's such a good reminder when you feel like you're going to burst at the seams. And he just whispers, be patient with this one or that one. Be patient with yourself. Be patient with yourself, yes. And that's a big one. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do to each other, do good to each other and to all people. Always be joyful. Again, only through Christ can we take that and make it real, you know. There's a joy that goes deeper than that surface stuff, but the joy in the Lord is deeper and real. And the world can't distinguish it. The world can't. Never stop praying. Be thankful, never thankful again. In all circumstances, easy? No. But possible, yes. For this is God's will for you who belong to the church. I remember turning 50 and thinking, holy smokes, I'm getting old. And, next month I turn 80, and holy smokes. thank you. Made it. Still thinking the same thing. Holy smokes, I'm getting old. And there's still so much I want to learn. Still so much I want to learn. Still so much I want to do. And being part and to do with you guys, with, you know, to learn and grow and with you guys in this body. I want to keep doing that. And but at the end of it, at the end of the race, and when my mentor, Mother Teresa, said, it's not what I know, or not what I do, or what I've done that will be remembered. It's how much did I love. This is a loving church. And so let's do that. And there was another, I read, I think it, yeah, it was, I heard it, but at the end of the race when I meet Jesus and I'll say, did I, in the time that you gave me, Lord, did I do everything that you gave me to do? Did I do what I could do? And I wanna hear him say, yes, you did. You did. So we'll keep driving that car, and we'll keep going to the bottle depot, and we'll keep doing the stuff that he calls, and for each one of us, what he calls us to do. So that's it, but I want to just close with my very favorite challenge and encourage one another with this. Hebrews 10, 24, 25. Okay, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope that we affirm for God. Okay, and I'll start again. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good deeds, their works. And we're not Christ doesn't call us to works, but, you know, I find that abundant life is receiving and giving, and so, and encouraging one another in that. He can be trusted to keep his promises. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let us not neglect meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. And we all know that. We all feel that. We're all in the battle. And it is a battle, like Stan said, that we know that. But we'll hang together, stick together, pray together, love together, reach out together, encourage one another. And thank you. Thanks for listening. That's the only reason I'm up here.
Amen. Pauline, you want to come? I think we can all agree that those are things we need to hear. And I am thankful for Gertie. So we need to be thankful for each other. Mm-hmm. So I am thankful for Gertie. I'm thankful for the mercy and the love that I have learned, that I see shining through you, that Jesus Christ is in you. Mm-hmm. God, we just pray right now that we'll continue to be the church you want us to be. Mm-hmm. We know that you are such an amazing God. And I pray for Pauline as he brings the word to God, that it will just flow from your spirit, and that it'll be a word that we need to hear, and that we will listen to carefully, and that we'll be encouraged by. You are such a great God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Of our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't realize it that it is almost Christmas. God asks us to count our days so that we get wisdom from Him. Some people think that time is just cyclical, because they know they have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then month, January, February, March, it rolls over and over, which is not true. Time in the eyes of God is linear. The time that you spend in the house of the Lord today will not be the same time as you are going to have next Sunday in this same place. So today, I'd like to affirm again my joy to be in the house of the Lord. I heard clearly what Sister Gertie said, and I was so much encouraged that even though we are not perfect, but God takes pleasure in using the broken things. We'll turn to the scripture today. We'll do some character analysis on the life of a man by the name of Abram. So you'll find my text in Genesis, if it can be put on the screen, to be fine. In Genesis chapter 11, starting from verse 17, and I'll read all through until Genesis 12, from verse 1 until 9. I'm reading from NIV version. Genesis 11, starting from verse 27. This is the account of Terah. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran became the father of Lot. While his father Terah was still alive, Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans, in the land of his birth. Abram and Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. She was the daughter of Haran, the father of both Milcah and Iscah. Now Sarai was barren. She had no children. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran. Now let me continue. Chapter 12, the next 9 verses. The Lord has said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I'll make you into a great nation, and I'll bless you. I'll make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there, he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on to the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. Maybe you have heard the name Abram and Abraham. They are the same thing. I mean the same person. God changed names. God changed the name of Abram into Abraham. In fact, Abram means exalted or high father. And Abraham means the father of many nations of or many people. Well, the context of place here, talking about Abram, is that he used to live in Mesopotamia or somewhere in southern Iraq, in today's geography. And one thing to know about this city was that it is a very ungodly city. It's a pagan city. And time context here is about 4,000 years ago. So it's a long time ago. They worship many idols. They worship many gods there. Not the true God. I come from a country where people there worship many gods. But there is only one true living God that I worship and you worship. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So I think that's one of the reasons that God called Abram to leave that place. But we remember here, when I read this story, this text to you, their destination is Canaan, but somewhere in the middle of their journey, they settled. Anybody still remembers the name of the city that they settled before they come to the final destination? They settled in Haran. Well, the word settled means they lived there. They did not stay there for a very brief of time, but they settled there. Abram settled there. Even though God did not say that that is his final destination, God said that Canaan is the land, is the destination that I have in mind for you. One of the things that made them settle in Haran is because of the allurement of that pagan city. We as Christians who live in this world, we have to know that our final destination, however comfortable, however blessed we have our life here, our final destination is not this city, is not in this world. Our final destination is the city built by the hand of God. And in that city, mansions, places have been built by Jesus for us. So don't allow the allure of ungodly life to stop you or to make you settle down in this world. Now, talking about Abram again, for him, this is a test of faith, and also at the same time, a step of faith for him, which is very much like what we did when we first came to Jesus. When we were initiated into Christianity, we are required, very much like Abram, to leave all behind. Isn't that true? Amen? To leave all behind. And it is required to leave all behind in order for us to follow Jesus in the right way. Thank God, Abram obeyed. I love that. Abram obeyed even though his life has been very comfortable in Mesopotamia, in Haran. He obeyed. And remember, obedience brings miracle. Obedience brings blessing. Obedience will open closed doors. So God gave a command to Abram. Maybe you don't like receiving commands. But remember here, Abram received commands, not only commands he received, along with that command, he received also promises from the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? God promised two things to him. I will promise you with land. And second, I'll make you become a great nation. Even though at that time Sarah was barren, and there was no hope of having a child again at that age by human standard. And one more thing that we need to remember is that God opened an opportunity for Abram to have a relationship with him, to have a relationship with God. And through that relationship, not only Abram will be blessed, but the whole families on earth will be blessed, because through the lineage of Abram will come Jesus Christ. And it is through Jesus Christ the whole families on earth will be blessed. For every call that we receive from God, just like the call that Abraham received, there should be a separation for every call. There should be a separation from the old life. In Abraham's case, a separation is from idolatry, because he lived in an idolatrous society, idolatrous family. Because that is required before God can put him into part of the messianic family, which would bring salvation to all people on the earth. I read in the Bible and also in this account of Abraham that it is the desire of God, or it is God's heart to prosper his people. Now, I'm not preaching about prosperity gospel per se, but what I'm seeing in this text is that it is the heart of God to make his people prosperous. Prosperous in many, many ways. It is God's willingness and God's desire to prosper you physically, to prosper you emotionally, to prosper you spiritually, materially, or may I add, even financially, and also relationally. If you read this account further on, it is said there that Abram was made great and blessed also materially. This is the true God's prosperity for his people. When I read in chapter 13, verse 1, it says there, so Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev with his wife and everything he had, and Lot went with him. Abram had become very wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold. You don't have livestock now, but you have your vehicles, you have your homes, you have your bank accounts, because God has blessed you. And even the report given by one of his servants, it is in chapter 24, and in verse 35, the servant says, the Lord has blessed my master greatly. Don't you think that this is still relevant to your life today? This historic event, even though it happened many thousands of years ago, is still pertinent and relevant to the life of believers today. The Bible says in Galatians 3, 13 and 14, that God has made Jesus a curse for us. And through that, God promises to give all believers the blessings of Abraham. Why he could do that? Because Jesus had become a curse for us, so that we might receive the blessings of Abraham. Of course, this should begin with being born again or becoming a new creation in Christ Jesus. So we see here in this account that it is God's plan from the very beginning of his redemptive work to make salvation global or universal. It is so evident here in the life of Abraham that God blessed him so that he could be a blessing to all families on earth. The context again here is everybody, all human beings, have turned away from God. And now God was focusing his attention into one single family, the family of Abram. So that out of that family, the whole people, the whole earth would be blessed again. And that comes through Jesus Christ, who brought salvation to the whole earth. So you remember that Abraham is part of the patriarch, and then Isaac and Jacob, and then Israel, the 12 tribes, and then the Davidic line, and then comes Jesus Christ, born of a Virgin Mary from that line, through whom blessing comes to every tribe, to every kindred, to every nation, and to every tongue. To African, to American, to Indonesian, to Canadian, to every one of us. One of the nice things that I notice here in verse 7, that I have read to you, and I'll read again. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I'll give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord, who appeared to him. Building an altar. Building an altar. So many people forget their altar already, especially in this modern age. But Abraham is in the habit of building his altar. That is the sign, or that is the indication, that he wants to show his claim or his right by building the altar. Altar here means prayer, worship. We as people of God need to build our altars again. As the time of the Lord Jesus again to come into this world is getting nearer, we need to build our altar again. I praise God that Abraham's name is recorded in the Bible. In the scripture, if you go to Hebrews chapter 11, we'll see there the hall of faith, or you'll see the list of faith champions there. And there we are reminded that we too, who live in this day and age, we too need to be like Abraham. We need to obey the Lord. Second, we need to step out in faith beyond the security of all that is familiar to us. We are the creatures of familiarity. We do not want to go out from familiarity, because that has formed a habit in us. But here, in terms of faith, God wants us to step out beyond the security of all that is familiar to us. We need to set our sight beyond the temporal to the eternal thing of God. You may say that it is only a call from God to Abram. But let me say today that you too, you have a call from God in your life. He calls you into a right relationship with Him. He calls you to be a true witness here on earth during your lifetime. He calls you to be a minister of the gospel. He calls you to be a minister of reconciliation. He calls you to be His ambassador. He calls you to be a godly man and a godly woman. That's what God is calling us into. But remember here, God calls you and me. It's not about who I am. It's not about who you are. But it's all about who God is. So it is not based on who you are, but rather it is based on who He is that calls you into this blessing, into this life, into this marvelous light in Him. And let me say very bluntly that there is nothing, I'm not trying to demean the life of Abraham. There is nothing about Abraham that makes him stand out. There is nothing good about him that made God choose him. And the same is true for me today. The same is true for this church today. And for you individually, there's nothing good in you that causes God to love you to the point that He sent His Son, His only Son, to this world and to die on the cross, to shed His blood, to be buried, and to rise again, so that you and I could have life eternal in Him. In other words, there is nothing in us that makes us worthy of Christ's sacrifice on the cross. Nothing, nothing at all. There's nothing good in me or about me that I should be here today sharing the word of God. Nothing. I'm standing here not on the basis of my goodness. No. God's call on our life means that He desires to call us as we are. He desires to call you as you are. And where you are. And He begins to lead you to the place He desires you to be. And to become all that He wants you to be. You have read this account. God calls Abram from the place, from the state where he was, into a place God wants him to be. That's marvelous. And I love the scripture that says in verse 1 again that Abram went forth. In other words, he departed to the land that God would show him. So God wants to take you from where you are today to a place in life that He will show to you. Maybe you want to say, God, what is the detail of that call? Never mind. Again, it is not about you. It is all about who God is, who calls you. When God calls him to leave Mesopotamia, his country, He doesn't give him a GPS, no. He just walked out and stepped out in faith, by faith. And it is a step of obedience. And Abram remembered this. It is not about me, he said in his heart, but it is all about who God is. I believe many of you here today, in this place, you have heard and received God's call. But many, sadly, are not fulfilling God's call in their life. Because we are not willing to make sacrifices. We are not willing to make sacrifices. Because God's call requires, necessitates sacrifices. Anytime, every time we are going to follow God's will, it will require separation from something. Separation from something. And I know it is not easy. It is not easy to make this separation. Because in Abraham's case, it was a separation from his past, from his comfort zones, from his life which was already settled. And again, in Abram's case, it is a separation from idolatrous surroundings, from anything that would hinder God's plan from being fulfilled in his life. Do you think that Abram fully answered God's call the first round? No. Abram did not fully answer that call the first time. And the second time God gave that call to him, God commanded him to leave all that is familiar. Aren't you glad that we have a Father in heaven that he is so patient and so long-suffering? He has called us into his wonderful plan, but we tarry. We do it half-heartedly. We don't honor his call. Sometimes we tarry in Haran. We lose sight of the eternity. We lose sight of that promise of God. And maybe some of you here today, you may think that you have blown it. You have come short of what God has called you into. And you feel that it is too late. No, it is not too late. You still have breath in you. This is still the day of grace. It is not too late. As long as you press on with it. How many of us, if truth can be told, how many of us can say that we have difficulty separating ourselves from our past? Yeah, it is so difficult to separate ourselves from our past. The same is true with Abram. That's why he did not fully answer the call of God the first time. In Abram's case, he clung to his past. He clung to his surroundings. Good news here is that in the second calling of Abraham, God did not give up. How many times God has given his call to you, to your life? Remember today, God will never give up on you. God does not give up on a person he is calling. Never. I can give you a scripture in Philippians 1:6 that says, he who began a good work in you will carry it on unto completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He won't give up on you and me. And that's the only way I can explain that Pauline is still here today. Yes, fulfilling God's call on your life does require a sacrifice. Yes, you will have to give up certain aspects of your life that might hinder God's plan. I told you earlier that the call comes with a promise. He'll make you a great person in the eyes of God. He will bless you. And more than that, He will make you a blessing. Which one is better, to be blessed or to be a blessing? To be a blessing, praise the Lord. Yes. God will make you a blessing. Yes, it is better than being blessed. Remember again that this is all based on who God is. And it is not based on who you are. And remember, God blesses those people who answer God's call. And I know this requires a childlike faith from our part. I like that verse, and I'll read it again in verse 4, chapter 12. It says, so Abram left as the Lord had told him. He heard the word, he heard the command, and then he took action. Abram left, Abram departed. Because the word that he heard created in him faith, and that faith he put in the person of the living Lord. It is so important because God said, because God said, because God said. I'm so blessed every time I hear Pastor San says, when he's sharing here, out of obedience, out of obedience, out of obedience. I'm so blessed, and I continue to learn this step of obedience, because when God says something and you obey, you take action, miracle will happen. Doors will be open. And it is that faith on your part that will be pleasing to God. So God is calling you and me today to serve. God is calling some people here today out of addiction. God is calling us to live a life for Him until He comes. God is calling people out of sin. Please quit trying to figure out why God calls you. Please. Over and over I say, it is not who you are, but it is who God is. God of grace, God of mercy, God of blessing. So are you willing to take a step today? Are you willing to make a sacrifice? Are you willing to answer the call? And are you willing to receive the blessing from Him? Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the call that you have given to each one of us. You call us from darkness into life. You call us from death unto life. You call us into life, life eternal, life so amazing, which is found only in you. We thank you for the word that we heard today. This word is not only for your people here, it is also for me. Teach us to obey you, to take a step of faith, to make a separation from sin, from the world. And in that way, we will see miracles, we will receive blessings from you. We praise your name. All this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, I really think that we've heard from God from a number of different sources. You know, I think we hear his message. And just a reminder that it doesn't matter if you're 80 years old. It doesn't matter what situation you're in. Sometimes we find ourselves, we're only halfway there. And we're stuck in this place called Haran. And God wants to bring us to a promised land. So maybe that's what's going on in your life today. Maybe the message is a message that you need to hear, that God is saying, don't stop now. You are only halfway there. And if you're hearing that today, I just want to give you an opportunity to receive some prayer. Maybe you're not hearing that. You're just ready to go and get to Tim Hortons, and that's all right. But I want to ask a few people to come up for to be prayers. And I'd like to see if maybe Tim and Barb and Kathy and Alvin would come up. Maybe Pauline, would you stay up here too? And Dawn's already up. So we got some people here that are more than willing to pray with you. Maybe God is saying to you today, you are not there yet. You are halfway there. And it's time to get out of Haran. It's time to go the next go-around. It's time to go where I want you to go. We're going to sing this song. It's called We Fall Down. We're just going to do it quietly. And while we sing, I invite you to come. Come for prayer. Come to fulfill the call. God is a call. God has a call on your life. He's saying, go on, press on. You're not there yet. You got a ways to go. But I'm here, and I'm going to bring you where I want you to be. Be obedient. Why don't we stand up? If you feel the need to come forward, or maybe not even a need, you just feel it's time. There's something in your life that needs to change. There's a struggle in your marriage. Whatever it is, it's just a breakthrough. You need a breakthrough. God's saying to you today, it's time. You're halfway there. I'm calling you to keep coming. We